Welcome back to another episode of The Rest, a podcast where you get to hear the rest of the story and where we continue the conversation that Sunday started. I'm your host, Jared Jacobus. Joel's here.
What's up?
You know, it's finally getting nice out.
It is.
It's
except today it's raining, but the last 2 days
I know. Well, it's a good day to podcast, you
it
know?
It is.
Let's podcast on the rainy days.
That's right.
Get out there on the nice days. But yep. I'm enjoying the warmer weather.
I know, man.
What about you?
Oh, yeah.
I imagine your kids are getting into spring sports and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, our kids do the all indoor sports except for they're playing basketball.
Okay.
So, but they're still doing that, but it's inside.
No baseball?
No baseball. No.
My son, this year is his first year doing player pitch baseball, and I'm a little nervous for him.
Uh-huh.
So they did assessments, and he's in second grade. And he apparently did well enough in the assessments to be put in player pitch.
Okay.
With third and fourth graders.
Oh, boy.
And we went to his first practice, and they're pretty good, you know. They're throwing some heat.
So, I mean, it picks up, right, those grades from grade to grade.
Yeah, there's a big skill gap between second grade and fourth grade.
Yes. So, all those elementary school grades from, you jump two of them. And it's pretty big.
Yeah. I think it'll be fine, though. We work on it every day.
Yeah.
So he's getting a lot better.
That's fun.
I'm excited for it. I loved playing baseball. It's just fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
Fun sport.
It was just not one that I played a little bit, but not a bunch.
Yeah. So do you kind of steer your kids towards things that you were more interested in?
I think it just happens naturally because we don't watch it.
Yeah.
You know, we're just not. I'm not interested.
I get that.
I don't follow it. I don't turn on the Reds game.
Yeah. So because you watch more basketball and football,
I think that's the way it always
works. A
little
more inclined. Yeah.
I think so. I think.
Yeah, I feel that.
When they're little.
You getting out for pickleball?
Yeah. Starting to play that.
Yeah. I saw some people got out yesterday to play.
Where were you?
I just got things to do.
I saw Robert out there.
Oh, really?
He took his shirt off.
Oh, my gosh.
And it looked like he had a white t-shirt on. That boy needs to get some sun.
I can imagine.
I bet he's crispy.
He's feeling
today.
It? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll have to go ask him.
Yeah. Or you'll just be able to look at him and tell.
Well, let's get into the recap. So God used wisdom to create the world. Joel referenced the word chokmah, which means wisdom, and wisdom is understanding the way things work and tapping into it. Joel articulated that Proverbs is a book of probabilities, not promises, and that if we take the teachings of Proverbs and enact them in our life, we will get the positive outcome most of the time. He taught that fearing God is the beginning of wisdom. He clarified that the type of fear we need to have for God is not being afraid of him, but that we respect God's ultimate authority and we want to honor him because we care so much about him. Joel outlined that knowing God is growing in wisdom and that ultimate wisdom is being able to love like God. He went on to talk through some of the equations found throughout Proverbs, one of them being that a messy stall yields a great harvest. In other words, hard work will give you an abundant life. Another being, those that are skilled in their work will serve before kings. Being highly skilled will open up a world of opportunities for you. One last one, do not eat the food of a begrudging host. If someone is giving you something because they desire to have leverage over you, don't accept it. Joel ended with expressing that the more we seek and obtain wisdom, the more we become like Jesus.
That's right.
Anything you want to touch on?
No.
Good.
Just that, maybe, well, the two
one
plus...
One thing?
Two plus, you know, the whole idea of equations.
Yeah.
That Proverbs are simple and basic, but they're uncommon.
Yeah, but like you said, common sense isn't
right.
Very common. And that's, it's good that we're unpacking this.
Yes.
So you began with laying the groundwork of fearing the Lord as the beginning of wisdom. What's a good measure for someone to determine if they have a healthy fear of the Lord?
So part of wisdom is skill in the material.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, God used the wisdom that he has to make the world, the material world, time, space, matter. So we see that, and then if someone is capable of manipulating that, then in making something better out of it, then they have tremendous wisdom if they have skill to whatever would work.
Yeah, it's kind of proof.
Yeah. And so that is why you can't say that someone, you can only have skill if you are, you know, loving God and following God. But the other side of, so it's almost like you're using wisdom.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's a basic respect for understanding that you don't understand, humility, and learning a language.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to learn if you think you already think you're, you know.
So there's a basic kind of, okay, there's a way the world works. And that is, in a sense, a beginning of a respect for some type of higher power. Maybe not. But ultimate wisdom starts to happen. Well, I won't use ultimate because that's what I talked about as the kind where you love like God. But there's a moral side to wisdom too.
Okay.
So and that's one of the things I talked about, that there's a grain like the grain of a wood in the way that the world works in the material world. It just kind of works a certain way.
Yeah.
And if you figure that out and you can, you know, have craftsmanship related to it, however that is, you have wisdom, but also there's a grain morally.
Yeah.
So Proverbs also says, to fear God is to shun evil.
Okay.
So you start moving down the road of doing righteous things.
Okay.
Which the implications are that you have a conscience and you have a God who's made a code that you are adhering to, because you're shunning evil and you're moving towards good. And that would be the beginning of fearing the Lord and the beginning of wisdom. And so, but I do think it's important also to know that God made wisdom for humans. He made wisdom for his people.
Yeah.
So that they could be his partners and that they could be the light of the world and
yeah.
they could be, you know, image bearers. And so when you start to move down the road of the material, the moral, loving people, this is about really a respect and honor, trust of God. And that is where wisdom is going to find its proper balance, because like I said on Sunday, someone can be really skilled at something. They could be a great businessman, but then they're cheating on their taxes.
Yeah.
So then that would not be wise. And so it's like, oh, you're tapping into a piece of this, but you don't quite understand
You're missing part of
yes. it. Yes. And so to fully have wisdom, it's impossible without loving God, trusting God, having faith in God, because having faith in God implies that you are going to be following his steps regardless of what you think is wise.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
So somebody can be wise in their own eyes and think that they are the ones who determine what is good and bad and how the world works, and that would not be wisdom. Yes. And then there's also, again, like I said, there's a basic reality. 2 + 2 = 4, where, you know, where someone is just doing all the basic right things, and they may not fully love God or understand God yet.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, they might get reinforced by other people who do. So they keep making wise choices. They work really hard, and so they have, you know, a bunch of food, you know, and they make a good salary.
Yeah.
That's a piece of it.
Yeah, but there's also the reality that even they're doing all these things outside of God, there's something that could and probably is falling short or falling apart.
Yeah.
Outside of their successes.
Yeah, I would think that someone who is maybe masterfully working in the material world, creating something, managing something, really good at something, but they don't have a respect for God, of God, know God, that there is certainly a missing piece to this.
Yeah.
You just start to move. A lot of it is subconscious. People don't really know that their mind is choosing something on a hierarchy, you know, that, okay, this is important, and so I'm going to do this and act this way and do these things. And so if you start to do things and you prioritize being a good person, making good decisions, becoming really skilled at something, learning how to work with people, you are going to wonder why that order has been put in place.
Yeah. Yes, it just feels natural.
There's just a moment where you kind of go, and a lot of people who get really deep into biology, you know, I know a lot of doctors who started off atheists or, you know, uninterested in God, but then they get into the way that certain things work, and even when they break it down to the smallest variable that they can to try to explain it or, you know, test it or whatever, yeah, there are so many missing pieces and that they just see in so much of what they do, intelligent design.
Yeah. Well, they keep digging until what they believed doesn't support
doesn't make sense.
They're starting to find.
Well, it's also, it's just a, you know, there are things that the body does that they can't make it do.
Yeah.
And they play into it. You know, they go, well, if we, you know, reset this bone, then the bone just happens to reconnect, and sometimes the calcium or whatever makes it even stronger.
Yeah.
So without, you know, really when you're engaging in a level of material wisdom or understanding of the way like the world is put together, you're kind of partnering with God, even if you don't believe you are, think you are, or know you are, because yeah, you're engaging in a set of principles and realities that have a consistency to them that is impossible to disregard. You're just, how is this always like this? You know, how does the apple fall from the tree? You know, yeah, I mean, how does this work this way? So, you know, that whole kind of growth of the human mind is certainly a part of wisdom. And then again, somebody can kind of, you know, you look at things as simple as a businessman who's good at what he does, but he cheats on his taxes, to a whole nation or an entire army utilizing the greatest war techniques, the greatest, you know, technology, and using it for sheer evil. Yeah. So that's the human story. And I get into that a lot more this coming week.
Good. I want to ask you a woodworking question.
Do it.
Do you know why woodworkers cut with the grain instead of against the grain?
I mean, I don't, like, when you ask that question, I'm not like, oh, I know. But I think it has to do with the wood splitting.
Kind of, yeah.
With the strength of the wood.
Yeah, when you cut with the grain, you're actually performing a cut because of how the strands of wood line. Okay. And when you cut against it, you're actually tearing
the wood.
Yeah.
So you're it's losing its...
You get a cleaner cut. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So reading these wisdom books isn't as straightforward as like reading and understanding modern writings. So what's the best way for us to study these books to be able to really pull out the intention of the scripture?
You know, honestly, one of the things that I'm doing for people with this series is, so I did a deep dive study, you know, 10 or so different podcasts and things about some of the real guts of these books. Yeah. And if anybody wants to, they can go to the Bible Project and listen to the Wisdom series. And then they can also watch the videos that are on there that are just summaries.
Yeah. Their videos are great.
Really, really. I mean, amazing. You wanna understand. But then one of the things in one of the podcasts that Tim Mackey talks about is, well, actually it's his buddy. It's the other guy. His name is John, who's on the podcast with him. And he said something that kind of helped me name this series, that once you understand the concept of Proverbs, you don't have to memorize every proverb to have wisdom.
Oh, interesting.
You understand what Proverbs is saying about what wisdom is. So, and then you seek it, because Proverbs does not have all of the wisdom that can be known in it. But obviously, it's, you know, a bunch of it is wisdom from the tradition of King David and King Solomon, obviously Solomon. And then, you know, there are other people in the latter parts that also had like wisdom, you know. I think one of them is like David's mom or Solomon's mom, and she writes like a part. And so, you know, you want to look at those because it's going to give you a pretty strong, articulate understanding of what wisdom can look like in particular circumstances. But also, it can help you just when I'm telling you equations, you can just kind of know that.
Yeah.
And that can help change the way you look and think and make decisions in every area of your life. Without actually, your life can start to look like equations in Proverbs that so many of them will be found in there.
Yeah.
You know.
So is it similar to understanding and knowing like the Pythagorean theorem that like whenever you see that again, you have the tools to be able to solve it?
Like, is that A squared plus B squared equals C squared or something? Yeah. So I don't know if that's what I'm saying.
Is it knowing like how to solve, is like essentially, is it like knowing how to solve the problem and therefore?
It's knowing what is in front of you all the time.
Okay.
Is a basic, reality that if I do the good thing here, it will end up good. If I do the bad thing here, it will end up bad.
Yeah, okay.
And that is that simple. If I do the thing that God thinks is good, 2 + 2 = 4. So you get to decide what the 2 is. If I do a bad thing plus another bad thing, it's always going to equal a bad outcome. If I do a good thing and another good thing, it's always going to equal a good outcome.
Yeah.
Which is wisdom. So you're wondering what is the best thing to do. And you're knowing that there are, you know, consequences to both. So one of the Proverbs talks about a person who winks at a guy when they're angry or something like that is, and when you do that, you're stirring up trouble.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
it makes sense.
If you don't want to stir up trouble, don't do that. Don't agitate. Irritate. Right now, it was just funny. We have two dogs. And we have a puppy who he's almost a year old, and then we have a dog that's almost 5 years old.
I heard they like gourmet coffee.
They like gourmet coffee. Did I tell that story on here? Okay. But Ricky truly has never growled in her life, our older dog. And Ricky just wants to play all the time when she doesn't.
Yeah.
And she'll really growl at him. Oh, leave me alone. I'm not ready. I mean, yeah, she does not. She is the most vulnerable, sweet dog. She'll roll over and, you know, expose her belly to us and lay on the bed and just never, I've never heard her snarl or be mean, barely even bark. And Ricky comes along. And now in the morning time, he's just trying to get her to play, and she's just, leave me alone. Like, you know, like I'm getting like my shoes on to take them downstairs, and Ricky is just up in her face, and she's like, leave me alone. Like it's morning. Like I don't want to play yet. Like she's just sitting there.
Yeah.
But she's getting mad. And there's a proverb that says a loud voice or a cry in the morning is likened unto a curse.
Yeah.
So you know what it's like in the morning when you're just like, hey, I'm just waking up. Like, don't bug me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so that there's so much wisdom in knowing there's a time and a place for certain types of interactions. And I know that, you know, that may seem like really obvious, but when you're young, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not obvious. And then you're arrogant and you're prideful and you're like, well, whatever, you know, like, you know,
yeah, you gotta
the way my boys are, it's like, you know, they don't, if they're grumpy and tired and someone bugs them, they'll get mad. But if they're all, if they've been up for an hour and then the other one wakes up, it's like, be quiet, you know, all this stuff, or they'll get wild and they won't understand why the other person's upset. So,
yeah,
you know, I think what, so when we're looking at these three books, I'm giving you these words that really can be the doorway, the lens to become a much more wise person just by understanding these three words in the context of wisdom in your life and how the world works.
Yeah, understanding the vocabulary.
Yeah.
The pursuit of wisdom and intelligence sometimes leads people towards things like pride or cynicism. So how do we make sure we maintain that level of humility that we spoke about in our earlier series when we do pursue wisdom?
I think that that is where real wisdom, it has the respect of God, the fear of God, the honor of God, the trusting of God. Because when, you know, when you understand that the source of everything you figured out is God, then you remain humble. And you also, if your perspective is that wisdom and everything I know is not everything, there's a moral side to doing that the right way and knowing that you possess the power to do the right thing, but also to do the very wrong thing.
Yeah.
And that you're dependent on God in order to manage yourself and your self-control or your emotions or your reactions to life. So I think that for someone who has the fear of God, then when they look, they may learn a lot of stuff, but they're thinking, I only know all this because God made it available.
Yeah.
And I only can do it because he gives me the spirit to help him, to help me do it. And also, it's not even the tip of the iceberg in terms of all the different things that I can learn from an, you know, an infinite God who is eternal and loves me. So the perspective, right? You're broadening your perspective. You're broadening your understanding of who God is. And so you're remaining humble. And, you know, I think I know I've said it before, but one of my favorite definitions of humility is the disposition that what I don't know is more important than what I do know.
That's good.
And so there's just always more. And there's all, so you're, you know, I think that the humility, if you have the right attitude, is the pursuit of the things that God has put in this world to help us make wise choices and live well. And to constantly be pursuing that, knowing that it's there, and to learn more. That's humble. To continue to learn, read more. You know, you're learning more, but you're knowing, I've got so much more to learn. So I just think it's the attitude. It's the attitude that somebody has. And really understanding that there are two sides. A lot of times, knowledge puffs up. It makes us arrogant. But there's a material side, and there's a moral side. And God, you know, the Proverbs say pride comes before the fall. So if you want to really be wise, you can't let just the information that you've learned make you think that you are wise enough to change the order of things morally in the world and it'd be okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all this stuff is just a pursuit of God, right? It's that's why the Proverbs 3:5-6, lean not on your own understanding. So he's trying to give you understanding, and you know that your understanding is a broken crutch, but that his is something that will hold you up. So you're constantly thinking about whatever it is you're learning as this is God's insight into the world, not mine.
So you're using that lens.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Frame everything.
I think constantly.
Yeah.
That's yeah. Good.
So Jesus is an ultimate authority on wisdom. Can you overlay one or two of Jesus's teachings that echo the Old Testament wisdom that's found in these books?
Yeah.
I know I'm putting you a little bit on the spot.
No, that's all right. I mean, so one of the things that Jesus talks about is unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it can't produce fruit.
Yeah.
So that would be a multi-layered commentary on the nature of how God made the world and how the kingdom of God grows, right? So a tiny little mustard seed goes into the ground and dies. The shell breaks apart. And
yeah, it's no longer a seed.
It's no longer a seed. And then from that growth and fruit and come. So now take the material part of that and go, I mean, farming is all about you doing all of this work. You have to do certain things. You have to have discipline. You have to work the ground. You have to plant the seed. You have to water it. You have to do it at the right time. You have to put it in the right place. You have to do all of this work, but you literally cannot make fruit grow.
Yeah.
But actually, you can because God made the other half of how it works. So again, you're working together. And so when you start to think about Jesus teaching people that that's the way the kingdom of God grows, that first of all, it's analogous to laying down your life. You know, we want this thing to grow, I'm going into the ground, I'm going to die, and nothing is going to happen unless I give my life.
Yeah.
Right? And so he gives his life, he comes out, and now he's resurrected, and the fruit of the kingdom of God starts blossoming. And then we do the same. You know, the church is not what it is today and didn't become what it became over 300 years because they were just wise in the sense that they had information. It was the manifestation of the love of God in people's lives where they would literally change the way that they thought about society and embody that by spending time with people that according to the world, were lesser than, spending time with people that didn't talk like them, that came from different backgrounds as them. So then suddenly now, because all are one in this new kingdom, I'm with people who were slaves, I'm with people who were second-class citizens, I'm with the rich, we're all part of the multi-ethnic, family of God. And that is a giving of self. That is a laying down of myself and my way and dying to now spend my life with all these other people. The same is true for the way that the church loved the sick.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked about that before, that they would, you know, the church was known for being the kind of people that would spend time with people who were terminally ill and were contagious, and they'd be carrying people to their grave, you know, while they're dying, and they would be, and they'd get it too. And so what made the world fall in love and made the kingdom grow was not, just Paul's messages that were the proclamation of the kingdom of God. They were the manifestation of what it means to love like God in those communities that fell in love with Jesus and the gospel. So that's why it grew. That's what the power was. the more that people died for what they believed, the more that people spent their lives on others and showed self-giving love and went into the ground and died, or metaphorically, figuratively, washing feet, yeah. The example of that, that's what made it grow. So there you have the kingdom. That's wisdom.
Yeah. And they understood that they were going to die regardless.
Yeah.
So they might as well die for what they believe. Sure.
Yeah, you're going to die. And you know, not all of them were martyrs. I mean, a lot of the martyring stuff is about the growth that took place and then the power that was happening. It's like, you have power now because people are following you, and we don't like that. We don't like what what you're saying. And now it's actually causing a problem.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't buying from us anymore. So yeah. We don't like that. You know, once people saw that the Christian community was a healthy community, was a growing community, and the people liked it, they just switched teams, you know. Anyway, so yeah, that's one really broad example.
That's a great example.
I would say that another example is I would say that another great, you know, another example, when you're getting into the kind of the fabric of fearing God.
Okay.
And you're into the reality of trusting him and following his, trusting in him and not leaning on your own understanding. You can look at a lot of different things, but the way that Jesus has the disciples feed the 5,000, and it's, they're all hungry, give them, you know, how are we going to feed them? We need to feed them. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat.
Yeah.
So what you're learning about is not that, you know, if we just obey God, it's always going to multiply the food. It's, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what wisdom looks like. Like, you are going to be able to do more when you do things my way.
Yeah.
And that is not just a miracle to prove that Jesus is God. That is a signpost for where the world is headed with the kingdom of God. So all of us are moving towards the reality that we can do more.
Yeah, that's powerful.
You know, we can affect more change. We can make more good when we do God and life, when we do life God's way. So it's just another picture of you know, if we're going to give them something to eat, wisdom that has just understands the material world takes, okay, the loaves and the fish, and we'll give them some to eat. But if we do things God's way, then there is an exponential type of impact that can take place.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And that would definitely be wisdom.
That's awesome.
So you really could start to look at all of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And start to see him going to the cross is another, it's like, how is this good? Right? Which is, you know, similar to what we already mentioned, but there's almost every story,
has connection
a measure to, of, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we as a church, we're reading through Proverbs together.
Yep.
We record on Wednesdays. So today we're doing chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I used to do, and I need to do another season of this, is I would follow along Proverbs each day of the month. I would read that chapter of Proverbs, because there's 31 chapters in Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
So the day of the month, I would read that, and I did that for a season at a time. And I found that every time I would reread through Proverbs, I would pick up several new things.
Oh, yeah.
That were like just very strong and poignant. And
stuff that's popped out.
Yeah. I would encourage everyone to do that.
Do you have any so far?
a lot of things. Like, I did this probably 4 or 5 years ago, and a lot of it was like around work and self-discipline. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd always find something new on the aspect of like how to think about work and how to pursue work, mm-hmm. and how to discipline your mind and your body, and the importance of mastering all of that. So yeah, if anyone is interested in that, it's a really good practice to do for a season every so often.
Yeah, it is.
Do you have anything you want to close with?
No, just continue to read, like you're saying,
yeah.
Read the Proverbs and highlight stuff and think, start to look at the world through the lens of equations.
Yeah. All right, everybody. As always, we'll be back here to cover part 3 of Equations, Smoke, and Horses on the rest.